What up? This is Coffee with Raz. My name is Raz. That is
Andrew Falcao.
Andrew Falcao. Today we're doing a Between the Lines episode for my latest song, Be Okay. If you haven't been a part of the Between the Lines episodes before, we'll be going through a breakdown of the message behind the song, some of the inspirations on how it was made, and then some of our favorite lyrics and parts of the songs. We'll break it down for how we wrote it. As mentioned, this is Andrew. He produced the original instrumental for the track and also co-produced the final version that you guys, that's available now on all streaming platforms. Yeah, let's get into it.
Yeah.
Tell the people a little bit about yourself.
Oh, man. I mean, I don't even know where to start. I started kind of just as a guy playing in different bands, and I was in a band called July that did a bunch of touring and had a couple records out on some pop punk labels. And after that, I was in a pop band for a while, and sort of along the road, I've got to meet a lot of different musicians like you, and I've sort of put on a few different hats and kind of become a session guitar player slash songwriter, composer. And
That's how we first met.
How did we even meet?
Well, not meet, but we worked together because Taboo told me I needed a guitarist for that song on my EP.
Was that the beginning? Because I couldn't remember if it was
or
if it was the Sean.
Because that was back. That was like 2018.
Right. Yeah.
So that was before you guys performed with Sean.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
So
cool.
You played on. I didn't actually meet you though.
I know it's been. There's been things. Yeah, I just don't remember the order of operations.
But we. I just emailed you. Spencer just gave me your email. And I hit you up, and we just chatted over email and text. We didn't actually meet, but you played on my first EP, and then I was like, I'm definitely going to have this guy on my next EP.
That's amazing.
And then I found out that, like, about July, and I saw Twin Rova's work at the time, and I was like, oh, this guy's sick. Like, you're definitely going to play on my next stuff. And we actually, you guys may have seen Andrew before in the My World video.
That's right.
He performed live with us with Isam B and Taboo on the guitar. And crushed it. So you'll see him with the guitar solo in the video.
See, it's nice that you're like, I heard this. And then, like, I reached out to you and this guy's sick. Because I'm just very, you know, I do most work that just comes my way because I just like it. Like, I genuinely just love it. So,
which is important.
Thank you for the compliments.
No worries. It was dope. So check out the My World video if you haven't yet. Andrew's in there playing. Shreds a guitar solo that's actually only available in the music video.
I know, yeah, that was the other cool thing about that.
I kind of want to put it out somewhere
just as
so
like
people can just like listen to it,
because
every time we perform My World live, we just like air guitar.
And that was another thing too. I was like, I'll go in and just play this, and I hope he doesn't hate it, because I just assume everyone's gonna hate.
I remember that the first rehearsal, you just played it, and you're like, I have something, I don't know if you'll like it, and then you played it.
That's just how I approach most.
And I was, I remember I was just like, yeah, do that.
Yeah. That's
cool.
Thankfully, that's generally what happens.
Nice.
Yeah, which is a good feeling.
Well, you've been playing guitar for, 20 years?
Ooh, I don't, like 20 years. I should be better. Yeah, like 10. I started when I was 10, but, I didn't seriously, get into it till probably 14 years old. I was
still fairly young.
I was going to lessons, but it was more like
thing you do when you're 14.
It was like my parents put me in lessons, and like I had a time on the weekend where I went to lessons, and like that was soccer practice.
Yeah,
I didn't ever really. I played sports for a bit, but not really. But yeah, that was my extracurricular. Basically, was going to lessons, and not really until I realized I could write songs or at least play along to the music I was listening to at 12, 13, 14. Once I realized I can kind of get away with playing easy punk rock stuff, then I was like, okay, I like music. I play guitar again.
Yeah.
And then, yeah,
it's always good when you can play the songs that you like as well.
Yeah. So I didn't take it seriously until I was about 14.
But yeah, we'll jump into the Be Okay track. So the song's called Be Okay. It's available on all streaming platforms now. The music video is up on YouTube. You guys can get it on all platforms, watch it, stream it, share it, download it. That would be great, obviously. But yeah, let's talk about the message behind the song. I guess I kind of, and we'll get into the inspiration where this, how the song came together.
Yeah.
But off the bat, I kind of took this instrumental from you and I wrote to it, and you didn't really know what was coming out of it. I think I explained to you what the concept was and what I had in mind.
At the studio, yeah.
True. Actually, when we recorded at the studio, or when we did the first production session.
Yeah, like the first like actual sit down.
Yeah, and at that time, it was, which was only, I didn't even, I hadn't even finished the song at that time. I had the first verse.
Yeah.
So I like to come to the studio with at least like a verse and or a hook done, or ideally both.
Yeah.
So that as we do the production, I can let like Taboo do what he does, and I can let you do what you do. If you're like, oh, I want to sing this, or I want to add this, or let's play with this, I can let people do their thing, but I know where it should go ultimately.
Yeah.
Like what I'm picturing, what my vision is. And so I was just kind of in my head rapping the verse I already had, and that was keeping things in line.
Yeah. Before we even did anything, I think you were like, before we get going, like, this is what the song is about, and this is what I have.
Exactly. Yeah. And so, yeah, the message behind the song was really, my last release was From the Fire, which was a heavy track. The song itself, but also the experience I went through when I wrote that song in terms of Black Lives Matter and the whole George Floyd situation and on top of all of the others. And it was a very raw place I was coming from. And I think it's safe to say everybody feels the same way, in that 2020 has been a pretty like hectic, heavy year.
It's going to be one for the history books. That's
exactly
for sure.
Like, yeah. We're definitely going to read about this in history books.
Our kids certainly will be.
Our kids will.
Our kids' kids.
And it's like, I made the From the Fire track, and it was really heavy for me, and in terms of like checking myself, checking myself to make sure I was a part of the solution and not the problem.
Yeah.
When it comes to systemic racism in my own community and home and whatnot, right? And then coming out of that, I heard this instrumental from you actually before I made From the Fire, and I realized like, this is a heavy year, but like we still have like a summer.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. we all still got to hang out outside, like physically distance and whatnot, but we got to enjoy the weather. There's a lot of sunshine. Like, it's not like we're having,
because things really started getting crazy like March,
exactly.
April.
And I just realized like, and just, you know, as Muslims, we also understand, and like God has told us that the nature, everything in nature is a sign, right? So every day the sun comes up, and then it sets, and the moon shows up, and then every time that cycle happens, it's supposed to be a sign for us to just reflect or to understand something about life,
mm-hmm.
right? Or how winter will hit, and winter here is like 6 months of the year. So like the trees all die, everything dies, everything ices over, but somehow
it comes back.
Everything grows, it comes back,
yeah,
right?
For sure.
And when I heard the guitar specifically that you played on this track, my head kind of opened up into that space, and I wrote the hook first. And when the hook came out is when I was like, let's make this track, because I realized that it's a great ode to the summer and to to 2020, this crazy year, to just be like, okay, things have been crazy, and there's not really an end in sight, at least in terms of COVID right now.
Yeah.
So at the very least, let's write an ode to the summer, or enjoy the fact that things can be bad, and we could be down on ourselves, and there's a lot of mental health issues for people, and that came about because of COVID, and then struggling with businesses, and if you're an independent business, all these different range of things just from COVID, outside of everything else that's happening, right? So I was like, let's do an ode to the summer where we just remember that life comes in cycles, right? Things go bad, and then things get better.
Yeah.
And as long as we wake up the next morning,
we should be good. Things will be all right eventually.
Exactly.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Like, it's gonna come back around, right?
Yeah.
So that's why the hook says, if summer can find a way back from the cold and gray, I just might be okay.
Yeah.
Right. Because it keeps coming back, right?
Mm-hmm.
And winters here are brutal if you're from Toronto.
Or just, yeah, I mean,
but
if you have a winter where there's snow.
Yeah. If you have to clean your car in the morning,
yeah,
and minus 30,
yeah.
You
yeah.
really appreciate summer when it comes back, right?
Oh, yeah.
And so
it's a good feeling for
sure.
Little,
yeah, it's a little long-winded, my explanation, but
you know, yeah,
we can come back,
yeah,
right? We can pick ourselves up and start again. And sometimes it's the whole year that you're down, and that doesn't have to be COVID, where everybody's, and it could be you as an individual, right? Like, you might have a bad year,
Yeah.
Like, I know the first 6 months of this year, I couldn't, 4 months of this year, I couldn't make music. And that was before COVID. And I was in like a dark place.
Just a writer's block kind
of
situation?
No,
there.
Because of my previous like record deal and whatever, like I just couldn't release anything.
You couldn't release music.
Yeah. Gotcha. And so it's a daunting thing, right? Mm-hmm. I'm building this career. And so that was like 4 months, right? But it could be 6 months. It could be a year. It could be 3 years for somebody else. And I think it sometimes, especially when external things like COVID and racism and like even the explosion in Lebanon that just happened. Like when these things happen, it makes it more difficult. And I just realized like I was getting down on myself as well. And I wanted a reminder for myself to be like, okay, it could be a year. It could be 2 years. But things cycle back.
Yeah.
As long as we stay hopeful and positive. I mean, feel free to share.
You know, I mean, like the whole thing kind of, it's actually funny to hear you, like your perspective on writing this song specifically and like what it kind of means for you as the writer. I, on a side note, I've been playing that riff. So the whole song.
Yeah, we can get right into the inspiration. How is
yeah,
it? Yeah,
we
yeah,
get
yeah.
to that. Yes,
yeah.
Like the whole, that, the song is literally just a guitar riff that most of the songs I write are usually like a 10-second like idea or loop.
Yeah.
Or just like a small quick thing that I think like, oh, this is like a pretty sound. I've just been playing it forever. Like anytime I pick up a guitar, it's just kind of like one of those
second
just,
nature.
Yeah, it's just like one of those go-to things that I play. And every time I play it, people have been kind of like, what is that? I'm like, well, it's just like a thing I've been playing.
It's always a great question. Where's that from?
Yeah, and it's just like, well, I've just been like playing it. It's not really anything. And then the other day, we'd already done, song's done.
Yeah.
So I was going through, because I was just curious, because I know I'd like at least played it on Instagram or something like that. And I actually found like what I think is the first time I posted it, which was in like 2016.
No way.
Yeah. So
I saw you post it like a month ago or something.
The video is literally me just on like, yeah, like I'm just playing guitar.
Okay.
And but it was like, it was right after, not right after, but at least it was probably like a month after like my last relationship ended, which is a really toxic relationship, but it was a long-term relationship anyway.
Yeah.
After that happened, I was kind of like, I just hid for a while, and that was the first thing I posted after after that whole thing.
Okay.
So it's interesting to hear you be like, you know, things get bad, but eventually things come back up, because that was when I was like, well, I wrote this riff and I like this riff.
Yeah.
And I feel good enough today to post it. So that's where that came.
That's
where that started.
Like, this is why I love making music with other people.
And yeah, and like this song truly was like as collaborative as could be in my opinion, because like I just kind of handed it to you and you
after
did
like
the thing,
4 years of,
and Spencer does his thing, which is just make things sound awesome.
Shout out to Taboo.
Yeah, and it does. It always does. But yeah, so COVID, I got laid off for the right when everybody basically got laid off, right off the bat when they were like,
yeah,
we're doing the shutdown, everything's closed. My job gave me the option, so I was like, well, I don't really know what's going on right now. And I live with other people, and they don't feel comfortable with me. Nobody knew what was going on. So
I
took the layoff. Then I stayed home for a while, and I just started like, I mean, I'm always writing music, and I'm always playing music, but I really had time to just kind of mess around.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I wasn't
with no clock, like no.
I literally just sat down to like play with my my equipment, because that's the flip side of it.
It's got a wicked
me.
Home studio, by the way, guys.
It's pretty cool. That's the flip side of it. Like, I love music
for
what it is, and I love making music, but I love like the toys and like the gear. It's like car guys.
To
you
some
know,
extent,
you
could, we all do when you make music. Certain different things.
Yeah,
but, yeah.
Like if I had an unlimited supply of money, I would spend all of my money on just musical equipment, because I just like playing with toys.
So
I had that riff, like I said, it's just a riff I've had forever, and like I didn't have anything to record. I just knew I kind of wanted to sit down at the studio and like just put pen to paper, basically.
Yeah.
I just wanted to get something down. So I was just playing with stuff, like, you know, I just plugged the guitar in, I was trying different like effects and different plugins that make the guitar sound like three guitars or four guitars.
Yeah, okay.
You know, just different stuff. And I literally just laid the whole thing out, guitar, and then I just you know, it's different for everybody, but I'm sure a lot of people have this, like, songs kind of write themselves when you kind of have a flow going.
Yeah.
So, like, I just had the idea for, like, the drum, the brush idea, and just kind of, it's almost like a marching, it's not a marching vibe, but it's
the sound.
Yeah, it's like got sort of like a soft marching vibe, and it was just kind of building blocks from there, but it, again, kind of coming full circle from, you know, that time in my life where I was, like, hiding from everybody, and then, hey, I wrote this riff, here's a riff, to playing with equipment because I'm bored at home because nobody can go out and do anything, no one can write music, no one can play shows. No one's at work, crazy. Here's a song, sounds cool, I posted it, and then you reached out to me right away, and, next thing you know, we're in the studio, but it's cool to get your perspective on it, because I never wrote lyrics to it. It's not something I had lyrics to. And I don't often write lyrics when I write music. It's usually just all, like, vibe-based. Like, usually I have, like, a tempo in mind more than anything. Like, I'll sit down and just, like, drag the metronome to a tempo and, like, bang out sort of a rhythm and just go from there. But it's cool that vibe that I was going for still exists without me having to communicate that with words.
Fascinating.
Yeah, and like, and honestly, I forgot until I was just kind of scrolling through Instagram the other day, and I realized how old
it was. Yeah, because, like, you told me at the time when I saw your recent post, you're like, oh, this is just something I've been playing for a long time. I decided to put it down.
Yeah, I have like 100 things like that too. Like, there's so many, like,
so maybe there's 100 more tracks coming.
There is. No, there is. And it's just a matter of me, like, going through the hard drive and being like, oh yeah, that's kind of cool. Like, maybe I'll just, like, put that out one day. Yeah. So it happens. Like, I sit on so many old things, and sometimes I feel like I'm like, can I even write music anymore? Like, this is such an old song, but they're just ideas, and then everything that comes from that is just the result of, like, you know, whatever's inspiring you at the time.
Like, so, this one in particular.
Yeah.
I think it's super fascinating that, like, the last thing you said about how we were able to, like, make the song on the same wavelength without you actually ever telling me. You didn't even remember when.
I didn't even honestly remember. Yeah.
When, like, the place you were at when you wrote the guitar riff. And then I literally just heard it. So just so you guys know, Andrew just posted a month ago or whatever, he posted after you laid it down early COVID times, he posted a video of it, and I was just scrolling through Instagram, and as soon as I heard it,
I think I just put the strings on or something like that.
Something like that, yeah. And I
just posted it.
I was like, what are you doing with this? Like, can I take it for a couple days and, like, try to write to it? And you told me was, I've been sitting on this forever, I just finally put it down, do whatever.
Yeah.
And it's crazy because I didn't, like, talk to you for, like, 2 days. I just took it.
Yeah.
And I wrote the hook to it. And the hook ended up being the exact...
Yeah, it's perfect.
Exactly in line with...
I said to you, I don't think I said it already. But I said it to you, and I've said it to Spencer. Like, when I got the first version back with your vocals, I had no expectation or knew what was going on, but I knew I didn't want anything to change. That's how much I liked it.
Wow. That never happens, guys.
Right? Like, there's always, like, well, maybe, like, this, we could change that up, or, like, this doesn't make sense here. I don't know. Like, I really like the song, and, like, it's just a really good song, man. Like, lyrically.
Yeah. Thank you for being a part of it, of course. And just so you guys know,
he
produced it. So I was scrolling on Instagram, I saw what he produced. If you guys aren't aware, music is a lot of collaboration. And so what happened is, you guys would know Taboo. Spencer produces a majority of my stuff right now. And
if you know me, I work with Spencer all the time on other stuff too. So, like, he played drums for Twin Rova every single show we ever played.
Yeah, exactly. And so I heard that, and I was like, Andrew, can you let me, can I sit with this for a couple days and try to write to it? I wrote the hook. Again, without knowing this whole background story, this is the first time I'm hearing this background story.
Yeah, I saved it for this specific. I was
sweet.
Like, I'm gonna wait. This is some good
amazing
stuff.
And I wrote it, and I was like, I wrote that hook, and I was like, okay, Andrew, can we do this? Like, let's make this track. You were like, sure. And then we just set up a production session. We just set up with Spencer, and so the final version that's available right now is a co-production between Andrew and Taboo and Spencer.
Yeah, it's pretty, like, as far as the the guts of it go, like the music. It's literally the version that I did at home,
yeah,
in my home studio. I gave all the individual tracks to Spencer, and then he just made it sound better.
Made it sound clean and big.
He mixed it. Yeah, he mixed it. And obviously added his taboo thing.
Yeah,
he definitely had his own...
And
he definitely sprinkles his own flavor on things.
Exactly.
For sure. And we changed a few things up.
And I love when he does that, because he does it very consciously.
Yeah.
Like, he does it with, like you said, I always start the session with, here's what this message of the song is supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because for me, I know every sound, every vocal, every background vocal, every harmony will affect what the song is telling you, whether that's literally in the lyrics or it's in what you're feeling when you hear different things, right? And so I like everybody to be on the same page, so that, and like, it really bothers me if someone's not on the same page. Like,
yeah,
I will explain it over and over, and I used to like be worried that I was gonna piss somebody off, but then I was like, no, this is my song and this is the message I want to give, and that's why,
yeah,
I make music. So we got to be on the same page. We got on the page. We've worked together a few times now, and that's never been an issue. But what I was saying is, Spencer's really good at understanding that and putting his twist on it, like his,
yeah,
taboo thumbprint on it. But yeah, but like, still staying very true to the message, or what the sound,
yeah,
feel, the vibe, whatever.
Yeah,
it is,
and
right?
Honestly, like anybody, like, you can bring an idea forward in a session or like on a song, and it might not be a great idea, or it might be too much, or whatever.
I would say more often than not,
of course,
you put out 300 bad ideas to get two great ones.
Of course.
Right? Yeah.
And the cool thing about Spencer, but the cool thing about just collaborating in general, is when you have people like Spencer who are take that criticism well,
yeah,
and are really good at working with it, like taking, okay, well, how about this, and then like,
mm-hmm,
spinning a, you know, like a compromised version of,
yeah,
of those two things.
And nobody's catching feelings. Everybody's just,
yeah,
whatever's,
well, you
best
can't,
for the song.
You can't.
Yeah.
And that's like one of the best lessons I learned this a long time ago from Sam, another recording friend of mine who does a lot of very good work.
Musician, yeah.
Was like, just having an outside ear is and having somebody who might have an idea that you didn't have.
Yep.
It's good to let go of the... some control sometimes.
100%.
I'm not saying to your point earlier, like, this is my song and it should be my message. Like, that's one thing. But with co-writing,
yeah,
it's good,
exactly,
to sort of let go of some of that control, because
a lot
of times...
And for me, it's just like the intention and the message behind the song, right?
Yeah.
So as long as we're on the same page emotionally, what it feels like, the vibe, and you guys understand what the lyrics are saying, I realize that that's what I need to control,
mm,
for my music and my brand and what I'm trying to say. But when we talk about putting the pieces of the song together, I think in the past I had missed out on a lot of creativity from other great musicians because I tried to control
everything,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, and I just realized what's important to me that I can't let go.
Yeah, and
you know
it's
what
all
I mean?
It's
and
still
then I just like,
right?
I sit in that pocket and I'm like, okay, this is the thing I can't let go. Everything else is up for grabs.
Yeah,
and
I,
then you start creating unbelievable.
I love art. It because things happen that you can never anticipate what someone else is going to think of. And then when other people's ideas start bleeding into your original idea, it sparks other ideas.
100%.
That's,
yeah,
the best part. I love those aha,
yeah,
moments where you're like, well, if that's happening, then like, what about this? We can do this here instead. And that, like, things like,
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that actually,
know,
happened. If you remember,
some of this, I don't know if this sounds like a different language or not.
Probably
it's a, speaking to musicians is a weird thing.
It is
we
a weird,
like, weird jargon.
It's
words
true.
We use,
like, if you remember in the outro of the song, when all the beat drops out right before the end, and it's just like the big background vocal.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like the oh, and then it's just I just might be oh,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
the very very end. If you remember that
was a happy accident.
That
That's
was
right.
a happy
yeah,
accident because
yeah.
I was I think you guys were playing, you and Spencer were like talking about something, and he played it without a bunch of played the song without a bunch of instruments in.
I think, yeah, I think
and
he,
I was
he
like,
might have been like pasting stuff around.
Yeah,
and
like, I was just
forgot
like,
to move something.
Exactly.
Something
it was
like
a mistake.
That. Yeah.
It wasn't a mistake. It was like he was in the middle of doing something, played the song while he was editing.
Yeah.
And I heard it and I was like, guys,
wait.
I really like this.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we sat there and we pasted it in different parts of the song until all three of us were like, oh, okay, yeah, yeah, it makes sense there.
And it's such a great ending.
And it turned into like a great ending.
I can't wait. I can't wait for people to hear it, honestly.
Yeah, it's it was great. And the what was I gonna say?
Sorry, I keep interrupting you.
No, that's totally cool. it was something you said earlier. Anyways, we'll keep going.
Yeah.
The collaboration in the studio, I think, makes, like, the fact that we brought in Spencer as well to do production, I think makes this even more beautiful to me, because we still maintain that message, but that message existed even before I heard the guitar riff.
That's great.
Which is unbelievable. This is what I was going to say. And then when we collaborated, a big thing for me, one of the things I didn't want to let go of, was like the intimacy and the, I guess, acousticness or the rawness. Like, you could hear an authenticity in the riff that you played.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Like, that's probably because I wasn't expecting it to be anything. It was like just
kind of real.
A demo in a way, right?
Exactly. And then you mentioned like where you were, like, let's say emotionally or in life at the time when you wrote it.
Mm.
Whether we think about it or not, that always comes out in our music.
Yes, for
in
sure.
In some way
yeah,
or another,
sure.
It comes out, right? And so I didn't know that at the time.
Absolutely, for me it does.
For me too,
yeah.
Right? And again, I didn't know that at the time that I reached out to you for the instrumental, but it was interesting, because as soon as we got into the studio together, one of the things I really wanted to keep is, like, I don't want to lose that intimacy and that authenticity of the original recording you had.
Yeah.
And I didn't have a reason. I was just like, that's why I wanted the track. So I don't want to turn this into like a crazy hip hop hit with just the guitar. It's like, I wanted to maintain your original instrumental, the original production, and then just kind of tailor it to my sound a bit.
Yeah.
But I didn't want to lose the intimacy.
It's definitely hip hop and it's definitely intimate, but like I've said this about,
but it gets big.
I've said this about your music in general, is like, it's not just hip hop though. Like, I feel like it definitely crosses a few genres. Like, you know,
which is, I'm glad to hear that, because I tried.
I definitely think, like, I don't know, like, if you were playing a festival, like, I feel like you could be playing anything from like a Warped Tour to like a Coachella to
which is the plan.
You know, like, it bridges,
it definitely
bridges the, it definitely bridges a few genres, and I think it's very true to your sound.
Yeah, and it's interesting, because thank you. And I grew up listening to a lot of like rock and alternative rock, anything from like Coldplay to Nirvana to Led Zeppelin to Bob Dylan, folk. Like, that's where I learned a lot of my songwriting from.
Mm-hmm.
Bob Dylan, Joni Mitchell.
But there's definitely a folk element.
Exactly, right?
Big time, yeah.
But then I was also grew up on like the Fugees and Nas and Jay-Z and like straight hip hop. I had Talib, Common, like, even Ludacris is one of the first people, Lupe. So I had this interesting mix. And we were talking about it earlier. My dad was a DJ.
Yeah.
So he's got like all these, and we're from the Caribbean. And so he's got all these Bob Marley records. Then he's got like Johnny Cash.
Yeah.
And like the Drifters. And then he's got like Frank Sinatra.
Yeah.
And so I grew up with all these things. And it's what's interesting is I told Spencer when we finished this, the BOK Master, this is like a really great combination of genres that I'm trying to evolve my sound into. Where it's got like the hip hop, but then it gets very like folk.
I don't really know what it is or like what the name for it is, but I think you're doing it, and
cool.
It's definitely working.
I'm glad.
So.
This song in particular was one that I was like, oh. In terms of my style, I'm like,
oh,
we got something here.
And I remember talking about it when we first got there, like, I want this to be this like intimate in the way it is, but I want it to be like my stuff. And honestly, I was, as the person who, like, you know, brought the,
this is the first time we were in the studio,
the meat
together.
And potatoes of the song, I was terrified. I was like,
what the hell,
what if they
about?
Can't do it, like, then I suck. But yeah, no, it turned out, I'm really happy, man. I listened to it all the way here, to be honest.
No way. Nice.
Yes, it's like I do that with everything. It's not even like a vain thing, it's just like I do with everything. Anytime I get like a mix back of something
I worked on,
I over-listen to it.
I was listening to it right before we started.
Yeah, because I just get stoked.
And that's why, if you guys are interested to know, when the song actually comes out, I don't really listen to it.
Oh, I know.
I don't.
You've already exhausted it. Like,
we've heard this song over 500 times.
Yeah, I've listened to it like
before
a bunch since I've
released.
Gotten the master. Yeah.
Yeah, and yeah, we're listening to the first versions. There's like multiple versions.
Yeah.
This one went pretty quick, but there's like usually multiple versions. Different edits, different mixes, different masters.
Yeah, I have four versions, and it was quick. Like, it was like,
and that we have four
within the last like two weeks,
we have four different versions,
yeah.
And it's, and that's a quick process.
Very fast.
But yeah, the last piece here we want to get into is the lyrics.
Yeah.
So obviously, my focus is always what I'm saying in the lyrics, And in these Between the Lines episodes, break down some of the lyrics for people. What I love, and I always talk about this when I do this part of the session, is I love what I've learned to love about music is how I could be in a very specific place in my life or in my mind, specific emotions and whatnot, and I'll write, and the words mean something very specific to me about an experience. And I try to make that creative and musical and then give it to people so that they understand, we can connect over what I'm going through.
Oh, yeah, it's relatable. Like,
exactly.
Everybody relates to lyrics.
But it always fascinates me when somebody hears it and then takes a lyric and says, this is what this meant to me.
Mm-hmm.
Or if I ask somebody, like, I'll take my favorite lyric, for instance, and be like, hey, what does this lyric mean to you? And it's like completely opposite or different or completely out of left field compared to what I was feeling,
for sure,
or thinking.
Yeah.
And so I love breaking down some of the lyrics because I, for one, I like telling people, people have asked me like, oh, what did you mean when you said this? And so, you know, that interaction of like, you can write something for a specific reason, but it'll affect everybody in completely different ways.
Yeah.
So I love doing this session. So what, it doesn't have to be a lyric in particular, but
no, yeah.
Throughout the track, throughout Be Okay, let's chat about like your favorite part.
So
lyric,
yeah, like right
what
off
it means
the,
to you.
Right off the bat, and I noticed that, well, obviously I noticed
we've
that.
Never had this conversation before,
no.
I'm really excited to
yeah, but no, but the first
coming from a great songwriter too, it's always a
well,
different
thanks.
I'm
not much of a lyricist, honestly, but
sorry, continue.
No, it's okay. First time I listened to it, like the master, and I was with Kira, my girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
And we were both, and she made mention of the exact same line, because I heard it and I was like, oh, that's a sick line. And then she was like, you know what, that's a really cool line. And I was
like,
that
like
is a cool line,
like on her own.
Yeah. I was like, I was just thinking about how cool that line was. But it's the pre-chorus, I guess it's the end of the pre-chorus for both pre-choruses, so it leads into the chorus. You say, roll down the window, I want to hear what the wind is saying.
Oh yeah.
I don't know what it is about that
line. I did not expect that to be the lyric.
I love it, man. I don't know what it is. It's just, it's very like, it just kind of, it sets up a scenario for me, you know, like chilling, like roll the windows down, I need to breathe for a second. But it's also just a witty line. And a lot of times with music, like even that stuff, they don't even necessarily have to be like smart lines.
Like really deep, or it's.
Yeah, just like, there's just.
It's more of a moment.
It's a
thing.
Moment,
yeah.
That's just like, yes, like that set me up for the next part, and I really feel it, you know.
Nice.
that's me anyway, and I come from like a punk rock background, so like lyrics a lot of the time are very like secondary, and I'm not discrediting well-written lyrics, which
that's just the genre, that's
yours,
that's how it goes.
Always are,
thank you. But that's just like the punk genre, that's,
yeah,
it's
but
simple. It's supposed to be simple.
but there's still those moments, right, where people, I don't, it's in punk music, sometimes it's just a random offensive line, and it's just like, wow, like that really just
hit.
I love it. I don't
yeah.
know why I love it,
but
I love,
I
it.
Love it.
And that line is does that same kind of thing for me. Just roll down the window, I want to hear what the wind is saying. I love
Sweet.
It.
Sweet.
Yeah,
that's the last, like, I did not expect. What's funny is I almost wrote that out of the song.
No, dude,
so
I love that line
and
so much.
I almost wrote it out, and then I was like, wait a minute, I think this is the essence of the image I'm trying to paint for people.
It and
so there's a message I'm
like
trying
I was
to
saying,
say.
It puts me in a scenario.
So I'm so happy to hear that. Like that's awesome. But it's yeah, I almost took it out, and then I realized the rest of the lyrics were telling them, saying, talking about the message, like what I was trying to get at, what the story was. And I guess this will go into my lyric, my favorite parts of the lyrics that in the song, but the majority of the verses are talking about like the downside, right?
Yeah.
Like you're the place that you're in,
yeah.
How you like you're upset or you're down on yourself or things aren't going right. And usually I'll write, let's say half the verse is on that end of things, and then the second half is like the positive side. Well, like look, be hopeful. This one, I wrote both verses, and I just had like the story of why things were kind of rough throughout like all the verse.
Yeah.
But I loved what I had, and then I was like, well, I don't have the space to like write more, to write us into hope.
Yeah.
But I was like, but I have a pre-chorus. And then when I tried to write it, I almost wrote out that line because I was trying to write more. And then I just paused for a second and I was like, well, no. The whole point of this is like, the basis of it was like, the good weather came back.
Yeah.
So what's the essence of good weather for me? Like, what do I want to do?
Right? Nobody has one of these.
Nobody has one of these.
Yeah.
You roll the window down and you just, that's where roll comes from, by the way. I was thinking about that when I wrote it.
Yeah.
Because you don't roll your window
down. No, never. Yeah, you don't roll a window down. You recline it or whatever.
Yeah, I guess. But
electronically reduce it.
Reduce height. But I just realized, I was like, oh, that's the essence of it. And I think that in itself gives the hopeful side of it.
Yeah.
Right? When you do that, it feels like a release, like you just said. So I'm glad that that hit the way it did.
Nobody rolls the window down if it's not nice out, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's the easiest way to put it.
Yeah, exactly.
What's interesting is I start off the song with, I walk for hours in no direction at all, just chasing wind, hoping to blow away the whispers when you told me life is not a matter, et cetera, et cetera.
So witty.
And why I kept wind in there is because, first I wrote it into the first verse. It was in the pre-chorus in the first verse, and it wasn't in the pre-chorus for the second verse. Until what I just explained.
You know what else is a great line? Sorry, I forgot about it. I'm sorry. Again, lyrics aren't necessarily my strong suit.
All good.
There's one part that you say something about before you hit the ground and picked up all the pieces that had scattered.
Yeah.
When you hit the ground.
So that's actually the part I'm going into.
Okay,
that's perfect.
Sorry.
No, that's perfect. But yeah, so I talk about the wind early on because it's like I walk for hours in no direction, just chasing wind, hoping to blow away the whispers when. And so as Muslims, there's this thing with like evil, right? Like the devil or whatever.
Sure.
Evil.
Sure.
Whispers to us, tells us to do things that we shouldn't be doing, or think things about people that aren't necessarily true. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Tries to just do bad or whatever. And that concept of whispers is like, it's always in your ear, right? And it's just like a conceptually, hope that makes sense.
No, it makes sense. I'm not a very religious person, but I grew up Catholic, and there's very similar things.
Yeah, fair enough. And so it's like I say trying to blow walk for hours in no direction at all, just chasing wind, trying to blow away the whispers when you told me life was not a matter of how many times you fall, but how many times you gather, right? All the things that you had scattered when you hit the ground. So
yeah.
The person I'm talking about told me, like, hey, and this is another teaching in Islam for Muslims, is like, it's not about how many times you fall. It's about how quickly and how many times you get back up.
Yeah.
And so in the song, story of the song, what I'm saying is somebody told me this, but then the devil or whoever, like other people and whatever, are trying to tell me like, that's not true. The whispers are trying to be like,
yeah.
Oh, that's not true. Right, and kind of trying to keep you down or whatever that is. It could be yourself.
Everybody's got some version of that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It could be yourself telling yourself, like, no, you're not worth it or whatever.
Everybody.
And so I'm chasing wind, trying to blow away those whispers when you told me this, right? And then so I come back, like, I was chasing the wind, but now at the end of the verse, I roll down the window because I found the wind.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to,
no,
you know what I mean? And then that goes into my favorite lyric, would be the you told me life is not a matter of how many times you fall, but how many times you gather all the things that you had scattered when you hit the ground. And I think we hear this, I've heard it a lot where people say like, oh, you just got to pick yourself up.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you fell down, just pick yourself up. And what I realized is
dust yourself off and try again.
Exactly.
Remember that
one? Exactly. But what's interesting is I think it's actually like deeper than that. Because when you fall, when you get that low, there's more to it than just getting back up, right? You could actually do harm to yourself if you actually hit rock bottom, and then you just get up,
and stand right
and
up,
just
yeah.
try to, you know what I mean? Like
yeah.
Your leg might be broken. You know what
stay
I mean?
Down.
Stay down. But it's like, so you told me life is not a matter of how many times you fall, but not how many times you get up, but how many times you gather all the things that scattered when you fell. So like, how do you recoup?
Yeah.
Right? Like, do you have to sit back and get focus on your mental health? Do you have to focus on your physical health, you have to focus on relaxing, like whatever it could be, right?
Yeah.
And so to me, when I wrote, it's one of those lines that I wrote and I was like, it made sense to me after. Just kind of came out, and then I was like, oh shoot, like this is what I actually think.
And
you can't just get back up. You gotta like gather things. And if you keep falling, and you'll hear this in other parts of the song, you might not actually be able to to gather everything every single time.
Yeah.
You might have to leave some things behind in order to get back up.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's, and that again, we've already said this during this conversation, but it goes right back to 2016 when I wrote the riff. I didn't know what the heck was going on, or like.
That's crazy.
I no longer had a car, a place to live. I did, but like, you know, things had all changed. So, and yeah, it's literally just picking up pieces and like,
see, this
figuring out what makes you tick and get up and keep moving. So music did it for me at that time, and now it's a song about the thing that it was not even necessarily supposed to be about. But
like, I'm gonna think about that later, and
I know,
I'm just gonna
it's cool.
It's gonna blow my mind, because
I'm glad that we're getting this all a good conversation on it, so that when I watch it back, I can be like, oh yeah. That,
yeah, it's, and this is why
that was
I like
a voyage.
I like doing these.
Yeah.
Some of them are kind of long, but it's like, I don't want to stop the conversation because you figure out things like this.
Yeah.
And like I told you guys, I had no idea. Like, we sat down right before we started, and you were like, oh, I know my favorite line, but I'm going to save it.
Yeah.
Like, I have some things I'm going to save. Yeah. And I had no idea that's what it'd be.
Well, because we were having a pretty good talk even before we started rolling, and I was already saying things that I was like, this pertains to the thing we're going to talk about. So.
No, that's awesome. Man, and that's why I love the collaboration. And I feel like whenever I make a song from like a gut feeling,
yeah,
or like with a specific intention, things like this always happen in one way or another. You know what I mean? Like,
there wasn't any stressful part about it either. Like, it was,
and when there's no friction, I know that I'm doing something I should be doing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or like little friction.
Nothing felt like a chore. It was very, it just happened.
Yeah, even your harmonies.
Very organic, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I was telling Spencer, I was actually a little worried. Not like worried, but I was like, oh, I want to hear this.
No, I know.
Because usually, not usually, but sometimes people will do harmonies, and I know you can't always be 100% sure that the person that's also recording on the track or whatever knows exactly what vibe you're going for.
Yeah.
You're hoping they can hear it as mm-hmm. a musician and be like, oh, this is a positive vibe or hopeful or happy or whatever. And then they write their harmonies in a positive. But sometimes, I'm sure you know, harmonies can like drag a chorus down
yeah.
or a hook down. Like, kind of, it still sound good, but like take it in that, like that intangible feeling kind of goes different
sure.
direction. But even that, there was like no friction.
No,
I actually showed up to the studio right after you finished recording.
Oh, really?
For like 45 minutes. That
oh,
I had.
Nice.
Because I had some notes on them for Spencer, and he was like, "Oh, Andrew's gonna come through and do the harmonies," and I was like, "Oh, perfect. I'll just give you my notes and we'll wrap it up." And then he played them for me, and I was like, "He was like, is there anything you want to edit?" I'm like, "No, perfect."
I told him too, like.
So Andrew's vocals are also on there, guys.
Yeah.
In the course.
Yeah, well, like, I mean, harmony, like, I definitely don't. I don't think I'm like a great singer. It's not, my voice doesn't like stand
out. Being
modest,
but I get what you're saying.
But what I do and what I have done always in bands I've been in and other things I've been a part of is write harmonies to things, because
yeah.
they just come to me. I'm just always in the car. If I'm
just a hard thing, guys. That's a really hard thing.
Maybe
to
maybe not.
I can write
I don't
them
know.
And they don't come to me that way.
I'm not even like not cocky. I'm
no,
not
no,
trying
no,
to
no,
sound
it's,
cocky.
It's a thing though. Like some people. It's like you have to split your brain almost. And I was telling you before, I have to actively do that.
I've always,
whereas some people I've noticed, it just hits them.
It just comes.
And,
like,
you can sing it right away.
I do it in the car. Like if I'm just driving, my brain, for whatever reason, again, like I'm not trying to sound like.
No. It makes sense. Yeah.
I'm not even a theory. I don't know theory very well, if at all. But when I'm driving, like my brain defaults to singing harmonies, provided I know the song. Like if I know the melody, it's already there. My brain just kind of fills in harmony blanks, and that it happens very naturally. So when I heard that part, I was like, I have a harmony in my head, and I'd like to put it down. And I told Spencer when I got there, I was like, yo, like if he doesn't like it, like take it out. But this is what I hear, and like I want to put it there, so it's there. And if you don't want to use it, you don't use it. I wasn't gonna be. I don't get offended about stuff like
I think,
that.
And, I feel like,
but I'm glad you like it, and I think it definitely.
Yeah, it was perfect, and it's
definitely
like,
ties it all together, in my opinion.
Yeah, it gives that. I think it really added to that. I knew we needed something there, so I think it really added, like in the last chorus and the second chorus. And I know we needed something to keep the song growing, but it couldn't be too big.
It gives it a little lift.
Exactly, and so
a little airiness.
Again, that's part of the collaboration that I love, and when things go well. There's little friction, and things get done pretty quickly.
It was a beautiful thing.
Yeah, but
Yeah, man.
That's pretty much it. Thank you so much for being here.
Bro, thank you.
Again,
thanks for having
Andrew
me.
Andrew Falque, do you want to shout out your Instagram handle so people can...
Yeah, I think... What is it right now? You could follow me at Andrew July. I just changed it. 717. I got a notification. That's how I know. At Andrew July 717. I changed it back to July because now July is making music again.
And July is his band.
July is the band that I was in from when I was like 20 years old, and then we broke up, but we're making some music again.
Nice.
Yeah.
And of course, you can follow me at razmusic.co. Go stream BOK on all streaming platforms. The video is on YouTube. Let me know. Shoot me messages. Shoot Andrew messages.
Shoot me messages.
Tell him how much you love the guitar.
Talk music.
Yeah, let's chat about it. And thank you guys for joining us on another Between the Lines. This was Coffee with Raz.
Thank you, Raz.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. If summer can find a way back from the cold and gray, I just might be yours. Oh, I just might.